Welcome to Episode 11 of Bibliotech, the podcast about emerging technologies for academics. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is Rochelle Mazar, and I'm an emerging technologies librarian at the University of Toronto, Mississauga. Every month, you can listen in as I talk about what's new in technology and what we as academics should be paying attention to. It's hard to keep up with all the new software, tools, and gadgets. That's where I come in. Are you worried that audio or video assignments aren't worth the hassle? It just might be a lot simpler than you think. In this episode, I'll fill you in on the technology available to make audio and video assignments fun and easy for everyone involved. Anytime I hear a unique question more than three times in a term, I know there's probably a trend brewing. What's the trend this time? Audio and video. Not just any audio and video, student-produced audio and video. I know what that sounds like. Renting cameras and tripods, microphone cables all over the place, scouring the campus for copies of Premiere or Camtasia, a million questions from students brand new to iMovie or Final Cut Pro about how to fix a video segment or augment an audio track, an inbox so full of massive video files that you can't receive any more email, and you can't open half of them because they're in a file format your computer doesn't understand, and that's before even getting to the point of the assignment. I couldn't blame you if you just shook your head at the whole mess and said, "No, that's fine, I'll just have them write another paper," or "How about another multiple choice test instead?" Students producing audio and video sounds painful. It sounds like it would take a lot of work. But things have changed. It doesn't have to be difficult. Actually, it can be really fun. This term I heard from four different instructors from four different departments asking how their students could submit audio or video as an assignment. The assignments were relatively small. They weren't making feature films or anything. Some of them are video versions of presentations. We recently moved from a 13-week term to a 12-week term, which had a lot of faculty scrambling for time in class. With class sizes increasing, even at our small campus, how do we make sure students still have the opportunity to put together and deliver an oral presentation? In a French or Italian class, it's important that the instructor get to hear the students speak. Recorded audio is often the perfect solution, and language studies faculty have long been the leaders in this area. But I didn't only hear from language instructors this term. I heard from history and religion instructors, too, looking to have students do close readings or other kinds of short presentations through audio or video. Every instructor who approached me with this question did so tentatively, as if the answer to the question, "Can I have my students submit audio?" must have the answer, "Well, yes, but it's very, very difficult." But that isn't the answer. The answer is just yes. Here's how. If you've ever done any work with audio before, you'll know that there's a very good free audio recording and editing package called Audacity. It's fantastic. But there's a learning curve, and not everyone will get past it in order to deliver you a finished product. And it doesn't do video at all. So I'm not going to address Audacity, or Camtasia, or Premiere, or iMovie, or even the video app on an iPhone or iPad. You can use these things, but there are easier options that don't require software licenses or expensive equipment. My mantra when working with students in technology is this: painless is best. Students love to do creative work and love to try new things, but assignments and grades are incredibly important in students' lives, and they have a lot of other responsibilities. If a tool allows us to cut through the technology learning curves and spend most of our time on the purpose of the assignment rather than the hows and whys of the tools, that's the solution I'll recommend. We don't want file conversion and post-production and 13 different settings. We just want the presentation, the oral report, or the close reading. We want the intellectual work to shine. That's where the focus needs to be. If the tool doesn't slot into the process cleanly, it's probably not the right tool. So what are the best tools for student-generated audio or video? There are three different tools I recommend that are easy for students to use, require no license, no fancy equipment, and are as easy as clicking a button. Which one you want depends on what your assignments look like and what kinds of privacy controls you need on the work. If what you want is a presentation with visuals, say a PowerPoint presentation with an audio track, or the student or students speaking, but you don't really need to see them as they speak, I recommend a tool called Screener. That's screener.com. No one needs that last vowel anymore, apparently. Screener is a screen recorder that picks up audio and everything on the screen. It records the video and it stores it and plays it back. Once the video is done, the student has a web address to submit to you, and that's it. There's no editing, and the student has to do it in one take. That one take has to be 5 minutes or less. You might tell me that PowerPoint can do this. You can add an audio track, and there you go. That's fine if you have a location to store all the files that are going to get submitted to you, and you don't mind downloading them all. In my experience, file format and which version of PowerPoint everyone is using and storage space become really serious problems when it comes to these kinds of assignments. I recommend Screener because there will be no file format issues. It forces the student to stick to a 5-minute limit, and you don't have to download anything to see it. And from the student's perspective, they don't need any software at all. They only need a computer and a microphone, which most laptops have built in, and a web browser and an internet connection. It's easy to use, and the learning curve is practically a straight line. That's only for an assignment that's 5 minutes long or less, of course. If you need something longer, then we look into other kinds of solutions. But 5 minutes, for an undergraduate presentation at least, is pretty good. And the tool enforces it, not you. If you need a longer time limit, you can have students use a tool called screencast-o-matic.com, which works roughly the same way, but gives you a 15-minute limit. Frequently, what our instructors ask for is a video with a student's face in it, a sort of classic video with a student talking about a topic. This is even easier to do. You're probably already familiar with YouTube. What you may not know is that YouTube has a recording feature that lets you record video from your webcam directly into YouTube through your browser. When you're logged in, click the upload link and you'll see it there. It says Record from Webcam. Students can record themselves talking and then submit it to YouTube once they like the final product. Again, it's one take, and YouTube's tools let you do some editing once the video is uploaded, but it's minimal. If you'd like students to record themselves talking about a topic, this is the easiest way to go. YouTube's video length limit is somewhere over 15 minutes right now, and it keeps going up. If you want much, much longer than this, an hour and a half or longer, you can get very long video recorded directly and up on the web through livestream.com. The point of livestream is actually to broadcast video to the web live, which works really well, and it also records the video and lets you review it later. In a pinch, you could have students do live presentations remotely this way, but the logistics would take a bit of organizing. The video quality isn't as great as YouTube's, but it works. The biggest advantage of YouTube, which no other service provides, is a privacy by obscurity function. With most of these tools, a video can be either private or public. A private video is something only the student will be able to see. Public is something everyone can see. YouTube has a middle way that allows a video to be private to anyone with the link, which means a student can make their video unlisted, so none of their friends or followers will see it, but can give you the link, and you'll see it just fine. Screener and Screencast-O-Matic allow you to push a video from their servers directly into YouTube, which means you can take advantage of those privacy features, even if you're recording screencasts and not webcam video. It's not ironclad security, but at this stage, frankly, nothing is. Now, that's all about video. What if all you want is audio? Obviously, if you want audio and don't mind about the video, you can tell students to use the YouTube record function, take advantage of the privacy by obscurity functions, and have them stick a post-it note over their webcam. But one of the most sophisticated interfaces for direct recording from the web is SoundCloud.com. This is a service designed for musicians to get their music out there on the web, but control who downloads it. It's free for the first 120 minutes of audio. The direct record functionality works from the web or from their free iPhone or Android apps. You push the big red record button, talk, save, and you're done. Each recording has its own web address, so again, there's no files to upload or download, and no format problems. The only downside to SoundCloud is that it doesn't have the unlisted feature that YouTube has. Using these easy tools available for free on the internet allows you to have students create alternative kinds of assignments and presentations without the pain of software, file format, conflicts, and storage issues. They also allow students to share their presentations easily with each other. All of these services allow you to embed the content anywhere, like a discussion board on your course website or on a course blog. The student doesn't need to understand about uploading or downloading files, the difference between MOV or AVI or WMV, it's just about the content. There's a lot to be said about student privacy and coursework. All of these tools are on the internet, so there are privacy issues involved. This is where you consider what your assignment is and whether it's appropriate to ask students to use external tools to express themselves. Most of the time, this isn't a huge issue. Don't ask students to talk about their personal lives in a public forum like this, obviously, but a report in French or a close reading of a text is probably fine. Make sure students understand that what's on the web is, in some way or another, public. If they already have a YouTube or a SoundCloud account, encourage them to make another with a name that doesn't connect to them. It doesn't matter if other people know who they are. You're the only one who needs to know. If a student isn't comfortable with their face or voice being on the internet, let them point the camera away or use other tools. This kind of thing can't be mandatory, but you can still take advantage of all these great tools to get student presentations in a digital format without the pain. There was a time when creating video meant a lot of pre- and post-production, lots of equipment, and lots of hassle. This is no longer the case. We're now able to produce quick and easy video as easily as talking out loud. It's not necessarily beautiful, but it focuses on the important part, a person who's got something to say. Don't be afraid of including video or audio into your course assignments. It's gotten so easy, it's just a matter of pressing a button. That's it for this episode. Are you including audio or video assignments in your class? Let me know by posting a comment at the bottom of this podcast page at universityaffairs.ca. Until next time, I'm Rochelle Mazar.